Welcome back to another episode of Before You Die podcast with your host, that's me, Jason Chenny, also known as a human being comedian, and I am on tour now for, where are we going, Kara? Vancouver, Phoenix, Irvine, Ontario, Oxnard. Thank you so much for tuning in. Here we go. It is the next episode that we're going to talk about a time where I worked for my father as a manufacturing merchandiser and salesperson, and I had to go to Vietnam to collect $30,000, which is a lot of money. $30,000 is like, you know, because every day every week, if my salary at the serving position where I served at this Japanese restaurant called Bluefin Sushi, and every month I think I made like $3,000, you know, so that's a lot of money is all I'm saying. So I gotta collect the $30,000 in Vietnam, all right? And I thought to myself, what happened was, there was a manager, he's like the evil villain, he's like Thor, but if Thor was not a good guy. So I was working in this company, and so he basically was, this is how they take the money. So basically, if the boss goes like, hey, you know, make me 10 jackets. And then you go, okay, I'll go make you 10 jackets. And the budget is $100. Let's just say it's $100 for 10 jackets. And you tell the manufacturer, say, hey, I need 10 jackets. And the manufacturer is like, okay, how about we tell your boss that it costs $150, but then it actually costs only $8. But then I'll give you money under the table, just so that we could both make some money under the table, but tell your boss it's a little bit more. That, you know, because you just kind of report, you're asking for, you know, it's like a stipend or stipend, or you know how people give, companies give out like credit cards for, that was a burp. Companies give out like credit cards so that they could, it's like expense, you know, you could write it off later. But so just to give you an idea of what, how he did it. So over like 8 months or whatever, he took $30,000. And you can't just let somebody take money from you, because that means one day you take some money, you know, the next day you might take more money. And the day after that, next thing you know, he's fucking your wife. So you got to draw the line, nip it in the butt immediately is what people say. Because if you don't nip shit in the butt, your butt is going to get nipped by his dick. So he stole 30. And then one of the managers that's in Taiwan, my dad has asked him to go collect the money. And he went over. He couldn't collect the money because they're probably, as American people say, in cahoots. That means in cahoots is an olden term that is maybe 300 years ago, is the Native Americans. They were in a hut, and they were stuck in a hut because there was a family of tigers. And then he was yelling out, hey, help me. And there was another guy in another hut that is also stuck. And he goes, I'm stuck too. There's tigers. But really, the tigers are the other guy's pets in a hut. So they go, it's in the hut. But in their language, they just call it in cahoot. I made it up, guys. I'm sorry about that segment. But I'm just trying to let you know that they were in cahoots, the manager in Taiwan and also the manager in Vietnam. And Vietnam in Mandarin is, as we say, Yuenan. And in Vietnamese, Vietnam is, do you know how to say it, Kara? No. In other news, going back on the main track of the story, which is, so the managers are in cahoots. Because they're like, oh, I can't collect the money. So then at the time, I was like, maybe, I don't know. I think I was like 20 or something, 21. Somewhere around that age where I was dumb and stupid and confident, ignorant at the, all at the same time. And my dad's like, yeah, you know, they owe us money, so we'll probably have to take legal action, you know, to sue them. And I just go, and at the time I was selling a little bit of drugs. I was around questionable characters that may or may not have guns around the house and may or may not have used it to threaten other humans who we called the enemy. And so around those environment, I just thought, you just do that. You just go that route where you could just threaten people with physical violence. And at the time I was like, you know what, just send me, I'm just gonna go over. And then I'm just gonna, and at the time I was stupid. I was getting in fights here and there. And yeah, just stupid stuff. And I just sent me, and my dad was like, yeah, go over and get it. And then so I went over to Vietnam. I think that's how you say it in Vietnamese, by the way. Vietnam. I could be wrong. And I'm not trying to disrespect the language. I just, you know, always skip that part. We'll skip it. So I went to Vietnam, and first day there, great, amazing. The Taiwanese manager is there, the Vietnamese. My coworkers was there. I meet them for the first time. They speak Mandarin and Vietnamese, by the way. Very talented. And also the accounts manager, she was really nice, and she was my person of correspondence there. Correspondence, you know what correspondence means. It's just like if you're in the weather station and they go to Jim in Florida, where there's a storm right now. And Jim goes, all right, the wind is 35 miles per hour. It's right outside, and there's an alligator swimming across the street, and there's a red light. So I was the correspondence for, did I say I was a correspondence, y'all? I don't know why I said I was a correspondence. I wasn't correspondent shit. I was just in I was in Vietnam trying to get the, I was in a correspondence. The accounts manager was the my correspondence, because she was the only person, the rest of them only spoke Vietnamese, and she was the only person who spoke Mandarin and Vietnamese. And so I was like, yeah, what's the deal with this manager? And he at the time wasn't even in the office no more. Actually, he came in once and he saw me with the evil eye. He's like, oh, Jason, huh? Because he also spoke Mandarin and Vietnamese. And I was trying to act cordial, because you never want to let anybody know when the snake is about to eat you in the neck. You got to keep it low key. Like, you got to play kind of like a giraffe that's just eating leaves off of a grape tree. Like that. And then they go, he's harmless, but little does he know I'm a rattlenail snake that was gonna bite him in the side of the Adam's apple where the arteries are. See, I know words, that's scientific, because you bite the arteries, the venom will go in your veins and infect the rest of your body, and you die slowly. But you can't let them know the plan. So he came in. I was like, hey, that was his, I was, that's his name. I'm just saying his name. I was like, hey, Steven, how's it going, man? And I was going to, you know, but I was sitting down, not, which is not respectful. But that was a power move. I go, hey, Steve, good to see you, man. Like that, because inside I'm a snake, but outside, oh, you saw it. I was a friendly neighborhood giraffe. And we went to, we actually went out to eat. We had some good food. We had some, you know, it just this, we went to this restaurant, that seafood restaurant. We got fish, everything. We drank. We went to karaoke after. We may or may not have beautiful ladies come in the room that pour us drinks and talk to us and maybe have fondled our thighs on the inside. We may or may not. Allegedly, I just want to let you know, we may or may not. I just learned the word allegedly yesterday. I've heard it plenty of times, but yesterday it was used a lot in the context of how I thought that was an appropriate time. So allegedly, these ladies may or may not have grinded on my manager's saggy 58-year-old penis. And I may or may not have been sitting on a couch watching that happen. And he was a little fat, which is nothing wrong with it. But the way that he made his face look with his tummy and this lady grinding on, and he just like, and that kind of turned me off a bit. I kind of died inside a little bit. So we may or may not have done that event. We had a great time. I didn't, because you remember, I'm a cobra tail snake, all right? But outside, I'm a giraffe. You know this. And couple days the next day, Steve was not there. Steve was gone because he tried to come and test the waters of the giraffe, see how I was going to act, because he may have caught wind from the In Cahoots manager from Taiwan that was also there, that I may or may not have came to collect the money. So he wanted to see if I was going to be aggressive or not. The third day, now I'm talking to the accounts manager. I said to her, I was like, let's just go get it, you know? And she's like, what do you mean? How? Because he wasn't there for 2 days in a row now. So now I had a knife, like a coconut knife. Whatever you think the coconut knife looks like, that's how my knife looked like. It was big. So then I hit it in the back of my pants. You know, I hid it I wrapped it in newspaper so that I don't stab myself in the kidney, because I got two of them and I need both. So I put it in the back that way. And to me, this is my head, how we're going to do it, okay? We're going to go to this house. And the account manager was like, yeah, but it's his house. Like, what if he, like, will try to beat you up or stab you, you know? And then I go, I just stab him back. We just stab each other. It's fine. And then I'm stronger because he's shorter and less physically capable. And she's like, you know, we should get somebody else. And I was like, okay, well, what about the security guard that is, don't speak Mandarin at all, that I don't understand? And that looked like he was super skinny. And his eyes always looked to southwest. One of his eyes is just southwest eye, and the other one moves. The other one doesn't move. The other eye is always thinking, is always like this. What am I going to eat today? So he had one eye that's always like, what am I going to eat? And the other eye, you know, he's looking around for stuff. And she's like, what about him? Bring him along, right? And I was like, yeah, that's cool. You know, he's a security guard that, you know, may or may not be accurate because of one of his eyes is fucked up. And I go, yeah, let's bring him along. And we could pay him like maybe extra like $55 or something, which is a lot of money because they only make like $300 or $400 a month in Vietnam. And so we brought him along. And in my head, this is how it's going to go. We're going to get in a taxi with my female accounts manager and with this security guy who's physically not capable, but in my head at the time, because you know what, that summer I did do a lot of drugs and I wasn't in the best mental state of my mind. And I said, yep, this is my A team. This is the team. You know how there's like a SEAL team six? This was my SEAL team six in my head. I go, this is the best I got. And, you know, they're capable. I got a translator and another soldier that he's a security guard, so he's probably capable, you know? I mean, he sits there all day. He's more like a parking lot attendant who, if something would have happened, he would have, instead of calling 911, he'd probably just quietly go away. But at the time, I wasn't a good judge of character. So I just told myself, this is my A team. We go. Now, with the knife in my back, manager in the front, with the security guard that I can't communicate to because he only speaks Vietnamese. Now I'm thinking to myself, because his house is like 40 minutes away by taxi. By the way, taxi is cheaper than the U.S. and back then it was even cheaper. And that's just, you know, how you commute. And I said to myself, is this a good idea? I'm alone by myself with two people who I don't know that well going into the ghetto of Vietnam. And I started to think, yeah, I don't know if this is the best idea. And then we get to the place. And now keep in mind that this isn't the city center anymore. This is more of a suburbs, kind of like the ghetto. There's wheats that's coming out of the ground. There's probably a corn coming out of the ground just in the middle. There is probably, you know, some possums on the streets and couple wildcats. And like there's brick walls. Cement walls that is like some of them has fallen over and beautiful farms and, you know, and then like, but it's still like there's so many buildings, but not high rises, just, you know, two story buildings. And we get to this corner and my manager was like, okay, we're here. And now I am definitely uncomfortable because we're 45 minutes away from city and I don't know where the fuck I am, and I'm supposed to get money from this guy that I'm bringing fucking Google eyes and my female manager. So I go, okay, tell the taxi to stay here, we're gonna go and we'll be right back. So just in case some shit goes down, I run back to the taxi. So I go, where does this guy live? And then now we're in kind of like the jungle. Imagine like two-story kind of like, imagine two-story apartments, two-story houses, but it's like maybe, I don't know, 600 square foot. And imagine that, but all over. And it's a maze. So there's the main street and you go in. We walked like maybe another 5 minutes, like in this left to right, like a maze of a place. I'm like, I don't even know how to get the fuck out of here if I wanted to. I just, and by the way, I'm terrible with directions, so that doesn't really help either. So I go, well, this is gonna be something. So we get to the place, and then the female manager is like, you know what? I'm just gonna wait in the taxi. And I was like, well, I need you to get out of here. And then she goes, okay, then I'm going to wait at the back of the street, like one of the streets, so just come there. So now it's me and a guy that I don't think he really knows what he's doing there. He's just standing there looking at the stars with one eye and the other eye, I don't know. Maybe he's like, oh, I think this is close to my house or whatever. And so Steve's house is on the left. We call him Steve, but that's not his real name. You know this because, you know. So to the left is where his house is. There isn't a door, really. It's just an open space. And that's kind of, he had like a praying, like he had like a Buddha thing on the thing. And nobody was there. But there was a second story. So I started to yell. I go, Steve, come out here. And nobody answered. And I said it again. I was like, it's Jason. Come out here. And I saw this 6 foot sumo with tattoos, half naked, topless, sumo looking guy with half of his body tattooed. And with, like, I remember there's like these Buddha beads on one of his arm. So when I saw that, I go, oh, fuck. That's what I said on the inside when I saw him. I go, oh, fuck. But on the outside, I am a cool, calm, collected giraffe. Eating leaves. He goes, who are you? And then I go, hello. Inside. Outside, I go, I'm Jason from this company, and I just wanted to talk to Steve. Is he here? And then he goes, there's no Steve here. And then I go, I know Steve is here. And then he goes, well, Steve's not here right now. And he looks at me, and I thought about, this is the moment where I'm like, well, you better get Steve before I stab you in your neck that is a tree trunk. I thought about saying that. But then I thought, I don't think my knife would go deep enough to hurt him. So I go instead, well, I know Steve, he's here, so can you just get him? I just wanted to talk to him is all. And then he goes, I just told you Steve's not here right now. And then I go, all right, I thought he might be here. Well, just let him know when he's back that I need to talk to him. Swallow spit. And then I left. I was a little more serious and aggressive when that exchange. So what happened was that night, usually the workers from Taiwan who goes over to the Vietnam will sleep in the factory where it's just, you know, holes within walls. Because it's not furnished, it's just leather. It's cement. And so I didn't want to, all the Taiwanese workers has left, and it's just me there now. So it's me with the Vietnamese accounts manager and stuff like that. And I was a little bit scared that night because I have gone to their home. And keep in mind, Vietnam is a place, at least back then, where you could bribe people. So if you get pulled over by police, you go, hey, police officer, what seems to be the problem? And they speak Vietnamese. And then, you know, you go like this, and they come with a paper, you know, that you're speeding or whatever the thing is. And you just go, oh my God, what is this? $50 American dollars, and they go, what is this? Do you know what this is? And they go, let me see what this is. Okay, bye. This is a place where you do that, and where you money buys everything, you know. So and keep in mind, people make $300 to $400 a month. So imagine what you could do with $1,000 or $2,000. People get killed in America for $2,000, $3,000. Imagine how much less money it would take to have somebody get kaput, you know, in Vietnam back then, you know. So that night my wheels start to turn in my brain. I go, oh my God, this is going to be fucked up. Because I was alone in the factory. And so what ended up happening is that with the same knife, I slept in the security room all night with the knife in my chest, and I just kept on looking at the security camera just to make sure that they're not going to come and murder me. Because who cares if, you know, I just got murdered in Vietnam, that, you know, nobody's here anyways. So I wrote like letter to my whole family just to be like, hey, I, you know, did I literally wrote my last words literally to my family just in case I die. That's one of the scariest things that's happened to me, because you're in a country, foreign country, no friends, no coworkers that you trust, because it's just you. And yeah, so the moral of the story is don't do stuff at other people's house. Don't shit in other people's houses. You could shit sometimes. You could think about shitting at other people's houses, but make sure that you bring 10 other friends when you want to shit at other people's house. Don't go alone is my thing. Or don't shit at other people's house. Take the legal action. Okay. Again, I was probably because of drugs and my stupidity and ignorance as a 20-year-old, a 20-something-year-old person. But that's something that happened to me before I die. Before You Die podcast is just basically saying everything that's in my heart, whether it would be something I feel or a situation that I was in or a situation that might happen in the future. Thank you, everybody, for doing an intro another hour long. Till next time.